And I would appreciate you filling that out, particularly if you have prayer concerns, let me know that. Norm, I don't have your new phone number. Okay, you got it. All right. I tried to get a hold of you, and I couldn't. So if you've changed your phone numbers, addresses, please put that on there. I'd like to get in touch with you. And really, we have several visitors or guests with us this morning, and I just want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for coming. I pray that the Lord will be just do some excellent things in your own heart. When I was with Mom this week, one of the things that my fondest memories of Mom is that when I go into her little apartment, she'd always be in a recliner with a Bible open and either reading her Bible or in prayer. And I'm thinking when she passes, I'm going to need to enlist about 100 prayer warriors to pray for me to take up her slack. So I would encourage you to be praying for me. One of the things, Cynthia and I were there one morning, and mornings are pretty good for her. In the evening, she gets a little confused, afternoons, evening. But one morning, we were sitting in there, and she said, "Now, I want Brad," or Bradford, she called me Bradford. "Bradford, you need to read this book. And you need to start at the beginning." And so she read Genesis chapter 1 for Cynthia and I as we were there. And it was just a precious, precious time with her. Have a wonderful mom, and I'm going to tremendously miss her when she leaves. But just fond memories of the ability to stay with her. She was not too far gone mentally. And it's really interesting, too. She'd be confused in a lot of things, but if you asked her to pray, she was right on target. You're right on target. She was a blessing. So we're looking in Hebrews. We're going through the book of Hebrews. We're not really racing through it because there's a lot there. Okay? We began several weeks ago. I don't know when we will finish. We're in chapter 2. Okay? We're in chapter 2, and we began last time I was here looking at verses 6, 7, and 8. And I want to just kind of refresh your memory regarding that, because I want to kind of take off from that today. So let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. "It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything," say everything, "everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. And at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." Father, we come before you today and ask that you would bless the breaking of your word. Help us to receive what you have for us. Engage our minds and our heart with you. Lord, we can't even do that without your help. And so, Lord, we come before you and ask for your blessings as we open your scripture, that there would be correct doctrine, correct teaching, and Lord, that we would be inspired by the things we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a few weeks ago, I shared with you that in the beginning, God owned everything. He had dominion over the earth. Go ahead to the next slide, please. God had dominion of the earth, and then he transferred that dominion to who? Adam and Eve. Remember? Okay. And then Adam and Eve had it for a while. He said, take dominion over it. I want you to care for the earth and those kind of things. And then after Adam and Eve sinned, who took control? Satan took control. And Satan had it for thousands of years. And then Jesus came along, and because of his sinless life, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection from the dead, he stole that from Satan. Stole it back. That's probably not a good term to use for Jesus, but he took it. All right, he took back what was rightfully his to begin with. Okay? And now we see Jesus, after his resurrection, he then transfers that dominion back to his servants. His faithful servants. And so I began wondering, well, what is it that he has transferred to us? So, and this question has been going on in my mind. There are blessings that Christians receive. Not only can believers have blessings, did you know that non-believers can have blessings too? And it all, but when you follow God's principles, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whatever you are, if you follow God's principles, there's blessings that's going to come. That's just God, the way God set it up. Okay? And then there are rewards. A reward is something that you work for. Okay? So if you go out, you have a job, and you get paid on Friday, guess what? That is your reward for working. As a Christian, we get rewards for being in the service of the Lord. Now, some of the rewards we will get here, but I think most of them we will find when we get to heaven. In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works." So when we stand before Christ's judgment seat, there's going to be two judgments, the white throne judgment and then the judgment seat of Christ. And all Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is where Jesus Himself will give you the rewards that you have earned while you are here on earth. There's going to be crowns involved. There's going to be jewels involved. A year ago last Christmas, Cynthia was sitting with her mom as she was in the midst of passing. My mom was struggling. It was a very difficult time for the mom. She was struggling. And if you've had someone in your life like that, you're asking the Lord, why don't you just take them to be with you? If you've been there, you understand that. While Cynthia was praying, the Lord spoke to her and said, there are jewels and crowns at stake. There's jewels and crowns at stake. And so part of the suffering is so that we are able... So let me back up. Did you know that there... Many times God allows us to go through difficulties and trials and tribulations in order to get the dross out of our lives? Okay? Part of that suffering at death is to get that removed from our lives. Okay? So here's maybe a thought. If we did it more quickly, if we got that stuff out of our lives more quickly, perhaps we wouldn't have that prolonged suffering at death. Just an idea. Just a thought. But there are rewards that are going to come to us when we get to heaven and we stand in the judgment seat of Christ. There's rewards that come. Now, there are some Christians who are going to get many rewards. They're going to get many crowns. They're going to get many jewels. But then, there are some Christians We're not going to get very many. So let me just ask you a question. If the Lord were to call you home today, what kind of rewards would you get? Would you get any rewards? Scripture says that if we just give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you'll get rewarded. I'm not going to stay too long on the rewards because that hasn't anything to do with the message today. Okay? What I want to get to is our inheritance. Our inheritance. Now, inheritance, the inheritance of the Lord is for the children of God only. So, how many of you have ever received an inheritance? A few of you. Okay? I've received an inheritance, but it was like $16.37. Okay? It wasn't a lot. So, but I've watched them on TV where the lawyer comes, calls the family in, and the lawyer tells each family member what they get because the parent passed away or some rich uncle passed away, and so they come in and they get to sit down and hear what their inheritance is going to be. So let's just say that the Lord, that your brother Jesus passed away. And he left an inheritance for you. Would you be interested to find out what that is? All right. You can either turn in your Bibles or look up here. Actually, Paul stole some of my message this morning during our class. Actually, this is a class on Christian essentials, and I would encourage every one of you to go. It really insightful. It starts at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. Today was the first class. I think we had over 20 in there today. So I would encourage you to come because it's just really, really good, and you need some foundational. There's a lot of people who go to church, been a Christian a long time, but they don't have any foundation. And so I would encourage you to get a good foundation, and that's an excellent place to go. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is, I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So, for me, the question is, if the Lord has left me an inheritance, I want to know what it is. I don't want to get to heaven and say, and him say, you know what, you could have had this, 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 and this, and this. And I'm thinking, what? It'd be good to use my inheritance now, amen? So, if I haven't received it, then what must I do to acquire it? Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a what? A gift from God. So, you were saved how? By grace. Did you work for it? Didn't work. It's hard to work for a gift, isn't it? You can't work for this inheritance. You can't work for this gift. It is solely by believing in Jesus Christ and the grace that God bestows. Okay? You follow me so far? Okay. So, have you ever looked at, so when you think of the word saved, many times we think of saved from hell and going to heaven. But I began looking at that word saved, and so I'll be honest with you, although I went to seminary, I didn't take languages. I didn't take Hebrew. I didn't take Greek. Because there's a lot of smarter fellows out there that's already taken that, and I can look at what they've written. Okay? So I was able to graduate seminary without taking languages. I didn't have time. I enjoy the languages, I just didn't get into it. But I looked under this word, sozo, under the Greeks. And this is what it says. It means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, and be made whole. Okay? So if you don't believe me, get you a Strong's Concordance. That's a big, thick book. Or you can get online. You can actually go online now and look up these words, and they'll help you with that. So in looking at this, it says, so the gift of God is salvation. Okay? The gift of God is salvation. What is included in that salvation? Delivered, protected, healed, preserved, to do well, to be made whole. So I want to ask you a question. Are these, back up just a minute. Are these things something that we earn? Or is it a gift to us? It's a gift. There's no way you can earn being saved. There's no way you can earn being delivered, protected, healed, preserved. There's nothing. What did Pastor Joel do to earn his healing? He didn't earn it. There's nothing he could do to receive that. So I want to ask you a question. You don't have to go into detail. But how many of you have ever been delivered from so we're looking at deliverance as one of our inheritances, deliverance. How many of you have ever, bondages have been broken off you, maybe addictions, that strongholds that have been broken off you? Can I see hands? What did you do to earn that? So how do you get that? It's the same way. Salvation is a gift given by those who believe. So you've got to have a believing heart. And you also have to have a repentant heart. Okay? A believing heart and a repentant heart. If you don't have a repentant heart or a believing heart, you can't have this. It's given to those who have a repentant heart and a believing heart. Okay? So, number three, we talked about healing. What do you have to do to have healing? According to sozo, a believing heart. And James says, if any of you have sin, confess to one another. So there's actual a repentant heart involved in that. And I would just also say there's some other variables in regards to healing. Let's just say that you're eating a lot of sugar. Or let's just say you're smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. But you could say, I want you to pray for me to be healed, but I don't want to give up my cigarettes. Personally, I don't know anybody in here would have the faith to believe that you could keep smoking and be healed from cancer. Right? I don't have that much faith. I don't believe that's going to work. Okay? And if you're chugging 16 Pepsis a day and you have sugar diabetes, it's hard to pray regarding. So there are some variables involved. When I was going to seminary, I was pastoring a church. I had a full-time job, and I had a job on the side. My home was about 60 miles away from my job at a hospital as a maintenance guy. And so sometimes, rather than going home, I would sleep in the paint shack. Get all the paint fumes. Probably not a good idea. Looking back, probably not a good idea. That probably had some effect on my brain cells, okay? And on my ability to breathe correctly. Now, can God heal that? He can. Sometimes He does miraculous works. But sometimes there are consequences to our decisions as well. And He says, maybe you just need to live with the consequences. Sometimes He does that. So there's a lot. When we're talking about healing, there's a lot of variables that we are exposed to and have to deal with. So, however, this word sozo is a part of our inheritance. This word of healing is a part of our inheritance. So as you're sitting there in front of the lawyer says, Jesus left with you healing. How does that make you feel? That's pretty cool, huh? Jesus left with you deliverance from addictions. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus left with you the ability to break strongholds of fear, strongholds of anger, strongholds of stress. Are you going to say, I'll receive that? Are you going to say, oh, no, lawyer, I really don't care for that one. I like my fear. I like my anger. But you know, there are some people who would rather live in their fear and anger and addictions than receive what God has for them. There are some people who really, and I've had people tell me this, well, if God didn't want to be paranoid, He could just take it from me, but evidently He wants me to be paranoid. So I've just got to walk in it because that's what God wants from me. I'm thinking, read your Bible. And some people may say, you know what? I love to drink. That's my favorite thing to do. God must have given me that appetite, so if He wants to take it from me, I'm okay with that. But He must want me to be an alcoholic because He's given me that appetite. What would you say? Read your Bible. You know, and the same thing for homosexuals and anything like that. It's God didn't. You were born a sinner. Every one of us have appetites for sin. Mark, yours may be different than mine. Okay? But we all have appetites for sin, and we have to come to a place where we're willing to put those appetites aside so that we can. There's something about repentance, you remember that? I mentioned that earlier. Have to put that aside and then believe the Lord that He's going to take that from you, and you work with Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, work with Him. He's not going to do it for you. You got to work with Him. He's not going to just, it's not like a pixie stick where all these little sprinkles come out and things are all right. Okay? It doesn't work that way. You have to work with Him. And it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, the next one is, I think it's the Holy Spirit. That's right. That's right. Exactly. Your appetite is not who you are. That's who you were prior to coming to know Christ. Another one, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, as his divine power has what? Given, say it again, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the... So, your lawyer says, Jesus wants to give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And then he goes on to say, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which he has, what? Given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has given you, Scripture says, it is God in us that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit that works in us not only to want to do his pleasure, but also gives us the ability to do it. Okay? So, you're there in front of the lawyer and he says, Jesus wants to leave you with the power to overcome sin in your life. Are you okay with that? Jesus wants to give you the power to live a godly life. Some people don't want that. Even some Christians say, well, I really like this sin over here. So I'm going to reject that power. I don't want... Now, you take that back, lawyer. I don't want that. But Christ has given us not only the power for godliness, righteous living, but he's also given us... And here's the thing. As you come into more knowledge with him and about him and better relationship with him, you're going to find that those things that you used to want to do, you're not going to do anymore. It's like, man, my relationship and my fellowship with Jesus is so wonderful to me that I don't want to have anything to do with the world, because that is stealing my opportunity to be with the Lord. And every time I go there, I think it's going to be fun. I think I'm going to enjoy it. And I do for a moment, but then it's after it's over, it's like gravel in my mouth. And pretty soon what's happening is that you are seeking the Lord more and more and more. And as you become more knowledgeable about him and know him better and spend time with him, then you're going to say, man, I would rather spend time with Jesus than spend time with sin. And it's a process, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. But if you will just say, lawyer says, hey, I've given you, Jesus has left you with the power to overcome sin in your life. You just say, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that by faith. It's a gift. I'll take that by faith, and I'll start living it out. I'll start walking it out. And sometimes you need other brothers and sisters to help you do that. Some of us haven't been able to overcome our stuff without somebody coming along beside us, and that's what the church is about. That's why God created the church. One of the reasons. Because he knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. We could not do it by ourselves. So, there's great and precious promises that he's given us. The deliverance of strongholds, freedom from worldly appetites, and he's also given us the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's what the power... So the power of the Holy Spirit does a lot for us. One of the things he does for us is... One of his jobs that he does is to... Are you familiar with the word sanctify? So when we invite the Holy Spirit, Jesus, in our life, and the Holy Spirit comes in... Then there's this work of called sanctification. And it's like there are little chambers in our heart that need to be cleared up. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, now I want to work on this area of your life. And so you work with him and work with him. And eventually, over time, you get victory in that area. And you're free. And you're just praising the Lord because you're no longer delving in that sin anymore. And so you're rejoicing. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit says, now, I want to work on this area of your life. You say, oh no, not that area. I like that area. Don't work on that area. But you know what? He gives us the will to do and the power to do. And I've had to pray, and seriously, I prayed this prayer before. The Holy Spirit was working with me on some areas, and I said, God, I really don't want to do that. But I'm willing to be made willing. I'm willing to be made willing. And so the Lord begins to give me not only a will, a desire to do it. He begins to conform in me more of the image of Christ as I yield that area of my life to Him. And there may be some areas in your life you need to say, Lord, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. Okay? And you just allow Him to do it, because out of your own flesh, there's some things we just don't want to release. Isn't that right? But if you say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing, then He will begin allowing you to get willing. Okay? All right. So, Scripture says that we are the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming after a spotless bride. So it's part of the Holy Spirit's job to help us get ready for Jesus' coming, so that we can, He won't be embarrassed by our attire. I've never been to a wedding where, you know, the bride wasn't all gussied up, dressed up, just beautiful. Never been to it. I've had some horrible wedding experiences, but the bride never came in filthy clothes. Okay? Not only that, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us, empowers us to do the works of Jesus. Listen to this passage of Scripture in John 14, 12. I tell you a lie. Is that what it says? Oh, I tell you the truth. Anyone, say anyone, who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Are you anyone? You may say, yeah, that doesn't include. No, it includes you. If you're a child of God, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. If the Lord didn't need you, He wouldn't have called you to be His child. If He didn't need you, you'd already be in glory right now. If the Father didn't need my mom, even in her physical state, in her mental state, she'd already be in heaven. He says, I'm leaving you here to do the works that I did, and even greater works than I did. That's what I'm leaving you here for. That's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? Hard to wrap your head around. But it comes through a repentant heart and believing. A repentant heart and believing. Turn to your neighbor and say, repentant heart and believing. That's the way you get the gifts of God. Repentant heart. I'm sorry, the inheritance. And I've interchanged. So, anyway, I interchange sometimes gifts of God and inheritance. There may be difference, but I haven't figured it out yet. So, repentant heart, believing, the way you get the inheritance God has given us. The last chapter, last verse, Psalm chapter 16, verse 5. I love this. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The lawyer says to you, and we're all gathered in the lawyer's office, you're part of the family. He says, Jesus wants to give you himself. Whoa. Jesus wants to give you himself. In the in the New King James Version, it says, the Lord is our inheritance, my portion, cup of blessing. J. Vernon McGee, probably some of you heard of him, says that God has given us, all of us, a portion. It's all of himself. It's kind of like you're sitting down for dinner and you get a large portion, but you only can eat some of it. That's your cup. Okay? Now the Lord has given all of himself to you and to me. So I'm asking you, how much of the Lord do you want? Because if you want all of him, you've got to give him all of you. Okay? If you want a little bit of him, just give him a little bit of you. If you want all of him, give him all of you. And let me ask you again. How much of the Lord do you want? You're in the lawyer's office, and he says Jesus wants to give himself to you. How much do you want? How much are you willing to give to him of yourself? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for our inheritance. Lord, sometimes it's more than we can even imagine. It's hard for us to comprehend everything that you have. Lord, there's probably a lot of things I left out. But Lord, I want more of you. Lord, in order to do that, I've got to give you more of me. So Lord, there may be others here today who are going to make a decision here in just a minute. They're going to come to the altar and pray, or they're going to come to me. I'm going to pray with them. They're dedicating themselves to give more of themselves to you so that they can become, that they can receive more of you. Lord, I don't want to leave this earth leaving some of my inheritance that you've left for me. And I know there's going to be an inheritance in heaven, but Lord, there's some things here on this earth. You're already giving. And Lord, that passage of Scripture we read in the beginning in Hebrews says, and not all things have we seen yet, or not all things are we understanding that is under our feet, and all everything that is we have dominion over. So, Lord, show us. Lord, in order to be what you'd have us be, in order to reclaim the inheritance that is ours, we have to give ourselves to you. Believing in faith. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, and the altar is open.